We've been looking at fruitfulness, and we looked at Isaiah chapter 27, where the prophet gives a three-stage trajectory of fruitfulness. Jacob will take root, blossom, bring forth shoots, and fill the earth with fruit. We've been talking about being rooted. Many people are like seeds just rolling around on the ground. They just abide alone, what Jesus says, and never bear fruit. And what needs to happen first is that the seed needs to be rooted, and then the stalk, the stem, the blade begins to happen. But rooting was very, very important. Many times people are not rooted, and they roll around with, among men and women of God, and they wonder why they can be in the company of so many godly people and still not be transformed themselves. And we talked about being rooted. Then we also talked about being bringing forth blossoms and blossoming. And we spoke about the fact that the blossom, the flower, contains the character and characteristics of the fruit. Yeah, and we spoke about that at length. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. And last week, we actually spoke about the fact that there are ways in which God actually causes the characteristic of Christ, the characteristic of the fruit, the character of it to actually become authentic and be emergent in the flower. And we looked at Isaiah chapter 56. And if you don't mind, Isaiah 56, I mentioned especially three characteristics of the eunuchs and foreigners who would be accepted in the house of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 56 says, "For thus says the Lord, verse 4, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, choose the things that please me, and hold fast my covenant, I will give in my house and within my walls a memorial and a name better than of sons and daughters." And he was speaking out to those who were not normally not accepted in the house of God in the Old Testament, right? The foreigners, the Gentiles, as well as those who are eunuchs who have been damaged in some ways. And so we spoke about the fact that there is a place that God has created for us through the cross of Christ that causes us, those of us who feel like foreigners, like aliens, like that we can't really fit in, and those of us who feel that we have been being damaged and because of that unfruitful, there's a place and a name better than our sons and daughters for these ones. But we spoke about the fact that there are processes by which God actually calls us in, so much so that it is not just by virtue of the fact that we are damaged that we are accepted. It's not just by virtue of the fact that we have been victimized or that we have been broken or we've been wounded that we become accepted. It is by virtue of the fact that we have made a covenant with God. And so we spoke at the end of the fact that even those who are completely damaged can make a covenant with God and enter into relationship with God, by which all the commonwealth of God's blessings can be ours as well. You remember that? So the prophet Isaiah says, don't let the eunuch say, I'm a dry tree. No, I will give you a place and a name better than of sons and daughters in my house, in my walls, and your sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. And what God says, when he says that your sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, it has to do with the fact that our prayers and our ministry doesn't just become a one-way thing, shot out into the heavens with no reply, with no response, but that God would cause that sacrifice to be met by fire. That's why Elijah, when he challenged the prophets of Baal, he says, let's see whether God answers your prayer. See whether your prayer is authenticated by fire. And of course, the prophets of Baal cut themselves and all that, and they were destroyed by their cutting edges. And Elijah just put that sacrifice there, poured water on it, and then he said, God, answer me, and the fire came. This is what Isaiah is speaking to when he speaks to the eunuchs and he speaks to the foreigners, those who have been not accepted before. He's saying, your prayers will be answered, your sacrifice will be answered by fire, by supernatural means, right? That's what he's saying. So I'd like to talk a little bit about that, and that has to do with holding fast the covenant. Yeah. So we spoke a little bit about it last week, but I'd like to just go in depth about into it more. And so let's go. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that all the things that we're talking about are not just words, but they are portals into a real reality, a solid reality that is more real than even we are, and that knocks on our door and calls us out to a world of miracles. We thank you that even as we talk about you, you are real, even more real than what we are talking, what we are saying. And so we ask you for your presence today, that you will validate your own word by miracles that we will experience even today. We ask you for not just comprehension, but we ask you for your presence, far larger than all that we're talking about. So we invite you, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. If you could turn with me to a passage of scripture in Isaiah, it's Isaiah chapter 60. And we'll look at this for a little bit. And looking at it from Isaiah chapter 60, we'll read it from verse 1. Arise, shine. Arise, shine. Kumi ori, arise, kumi, which means make a stand, fix yourself. Even if it means you have to suffer for it. Become powerful. These are all cognates. These are all meanings of the word arise, kumi. Ori has to do with shine, yeah. Have the light in you to shine. So when he says, kumi ori, he's saying, arise, shine. Attach yourself to the truth. Make a stand for it. For your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Notice it's in the past tense, in the perfect tense. There's something that has taken place already. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. He's not saying arise, shine, so that by arousing yourself, something will happen. He's saying arise because something has already taken place. Your arising is based upon something that is real, something solid that has taken place. Perfect tense, yeah? For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will rise upon you, and His glory will appear upon you, and nations will come to your light. Not just to you, no matter how pretty you are. The nations will come to that light, the ore. Yeah? It'll come to the light. The nations will come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes round about and see. They gather together, they come to you. The whole idea is this. People will come to the rising of God upon you. Yeah. The glory of God, the kavod of God. The kavod, the glory. Best translated as weight, the weight. So something substantial. Isaiah is speaking that there should be a commensurate behavior towards something that is real that has taken place. It is that real thing that will draw kings to itself. Okay? So arise, shine, for your light has come, for the glory of the Lord has come, has risen upon you, because darkness is going to come, and it's going to wipe away and show up all the false lights. And they will fail. But your time is coming, in which you are to arise, not to try to stir yourself up only. The worship team